Someone else gave me a little song here, a poem by Francis Havergal. And just listen to the words. It says this: Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast sought, so let me seek the erring children lost and lone. O lead me, Lord, that I may lead the wandering and the wavering feet. O feed me, Lord, that I may feed thy hungering ones with manna sweet. O strengthen me, that while I stand firm on the rock and strong in thee, I may stretch out a loving hand to wrestlers with the troubled sea. O teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious things thou dost impart, and wing my words that they may reach the hidden depths of many a heart. O give me thine own sweet rest. O give thine own sweet rest to me, that I may speak with soothing power a word in season, as from thee to weary ones in needful hour. O fill me with thy fullness, Lord, until my very heart o'erflow in kindling thought and glowing word, thy love to tell, thy praise to show. O use me, Lord, use even me, just as thou wilt, and when and where, until thy blessed face I see, thy rest, thy joy, thy glory share. Lord, speak to me. Lord, lead me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, feed me, so that I can be a blessing. So that I can bless someone else. You know, God brings us together and he works in our hearts and he blesses us. We use those words, bless you, and he blesses us. He pours his grace into our lives. But we're not to be a reservoir, as it were. We're to be a channel. We're to allow that blessing to flow out from us. At the beginning of this season, we took the words from the book of John, John 7, where it says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. And God wants us to be channels of his Spirit. God, fill us so that we can flow out to others this blessed life. Everywhere the river flows, it brings life, blessing. Hallelujah. So, Lord, speak to us today. Fill us today that we can, in turn, be a blessing to others. Let's take our Bibles and open to 2 Timothy 3. We've had a word for, I believe, the parents and for the adults and for all of us, for sure. But this morning, I thought I'd like to consider Timothy. A young man that God was calling into ministry, had placed into the ministry, father or a son in the faith to the Apostle Paul. And God had his hand upon Timothy. I'm trying to find it while I'm talking. I better focus. New Testament, Old Testament, help me. New Testament, right? Okay. Last night we spoke a little bit about legacy and influence and how we are to be the examples. Everyone remember the verse? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. We can be an example only as we are following the example of Christ. Oh, to be like thee. I want to be like Jesus. Chapter 3, we have a similar thought. The Apostle Paul again is pointing out that not everyone's going to be a follower of God. Not everyone's going to be the good example, Timothy, for you to follow. But he picks it up in verse 9 and says this, in verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. Timothy, you've known how I've lived before you. You know how I've served the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I teach. You know how I live. You know what my purpose is in life. What's your purpose? You have a purpose? My purpose is to get through today and get to tomorrow. To survive. You know, you talk to some people, I'm just hanging on, you know? I'm like, let go. Let go. I always come back to this story. I just like the story, and again, forgive me. Maybe turn off the tape because it'll be a rerun. But I don't even remember where I read it. Sometimes the preachers, they get these little books that have the stories in it that have a point, you know, right, Brother John? And then you find a good story and you say, oh, I like that one. Or you Google it now, right? You Google everything. It's terrible. I mean, it's great, but it's terrible. But about purpose, what's your purpose in life? You know, and the story, as I remember, there was this a person who looks to fill executive positions in other companies. So what they do is they try to take it from one company. You know, they call them headhunters. So this fellow was a headhunter. He looked for somebody who he could steal from one company to place in another company that had an opening. And so he would have to go around and he'd have to talk to these big important CEOs and people that were leading major companies. And he said, I'd like to go in there and disarm them, you know. And so I'd go in there and I'd put my feet on their desk, sit in the chair, put their feet on the desk and just, you know, just talk to them and then look them in the eye and say, so what's your purpose in life? Bye. What's your purpose in life? And he said, I remember one man who completely, he said, usually here these top executives, they would just sit there and they would have no answer for me. He said, but this one time I ran into a fellow who was a Christian. And he said to me, my purpose in life, he said, and he said it without skipping a beat. Looked me right in the eye and said, my purpose in life is to go to heaven and to bring as many people with me as I can. My purpose in life is, yes, to go to heaven, but to bring as many people with me as I can. What's your purpose in life? Paul could say, Timothy, you know my purpose. I'm here to bring as many people as I can to the kingdom. Faith. Paul was an example of faith. As I, again, was thinking of this camp season and the verse that we had chosen for this year, the working of the Holy Spirit, was drawn to the verse in Acts where it says, they were men that were full of faith and the Holy Ghost. The Church of Jesus Christ needs men and women who are full of faith and the Holy Ghost. We need a greater sight of our God, beloved. We fix our eyes on Jesus. That's the sight that fills our vision, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on to talk about long-suffering and love and patience. And verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do we need that verse? All they that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It seems to indicate that if we have no opposition, that we ought to maybe go to God and say, is there, am I living the way I ought? To take our stand in this ungodly society that we live in. To take our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, His name, His word. May God help us, and He does. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, again, we've read all that to really, I wanted to just focus now on the next verses that come and to speak to all of us, but especially to our children. Because look what it says. What is it that the Apostle Paul says to Timothy? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I think what he's saying, I want you to remember, and not only remember, but to continue in what you've been taught. Now remember, he had a grandmother and a mother who were full of faith, right? They had a genuine, sincere faith. And they were a wonderful example to Timothy. But he points him now to the Word of God. You've known the things that you've been taught, and you've known the people that have taught you. We just mentioned a little bit jokingly about Googling and things, you know? You can find anything on the internet. Don't believe it. You know, people tell me, well, I read it on the internet. I said, so what? Like that means it's true. No, it's here, beloved. It's here. This is the truth. This is what we need. Godly men and women who have taught us by word and example the way of life. And so, Timothy, you've seen it lived out before you. It's been more than words. It's been more than a Bible story. It's been my way of life. It's been the way of life for your grandmother and your mother. And so, Timothy, I want you to continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. I think we need to have faith that our children will, as they hear the word of God, that they will know that it's true and that it's for them. They can be assured that there is a God who loves them. They can be assured that there is a Savior who came to die for them and take away their sins. They can open their hearts at a young age and believe that Jesus died for them. And just take it one step further. We need to believe also that God can fill our children with the Holy Spirit. They don't have to wait till they're in their 20s or, you know, when they're in high school and struggling to get through. We can believe that God will fill them with His Spirit. Lord, give me that faith. I think it's Sister Gerder, your sister. She's not here yet, right?
No.
So that I think I have the story right, that she was coming up to camp. And I think she was 10 years old.
What?
Was she 10? I think she was 10.
I was 8 years older than her.
Okay. But her mother said to her, your sister, that would be sister, was filled with the Holy Spirit when she was, how old were you when you were filled with the Spirit?
Nine.
And she says, and you're 10. And you haven't been filled with the Spirit yet. And she recounts how she came to camp that year and God filled her with the Holy Spirit. So let's not minimize. My point was, let's not minimize what God can do in our children. But let's believe. Let's believe that He will come to them in a very real, personal, definite way. And give them that assurance that they belong to Him. They're not for this world. They belong to God. And that from a child, verse 15, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, keep in this book. Keep in this book.
Amen.
Children, young people. Where are my young people this morning? Yeah, there they are. Bismarck is here, and David, and Luke, William, and I'm going to say Anastasia. Get into this book. Learn to love this book. I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. We will travel together, my Bible and I. Parents, if you love the God's Word, I think your children will see that. And we as adults, we need to stay in God's Word and love His Word and read His Word and obey His Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman and boy and girl of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me just read that in the NIV. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the child of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, the Word of God not only shows us the truth, not only points out our sin, things that need to change, but it shows us the way. And if we learn to obey God's Word, what a change it will make in our lives. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. David understood the importance of hiding that Word in his heart for this purpose, that it would keep him from sin. I've said this before, how my first Bible that I can, maybe that I remember anyway, that my parents gave me, I still have it. My mother wrote in the front. She wrote a number of things in the front, but one of them is, sin will keep you from this book, but this book will keep you from sin. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. This book will keep you from sin. Another thing she wrote was, read it through. Pray it in. What is it, Jenna?
Live it out.
Live it out and pass it on. She wrote that in your Bible too?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought I was a special child. Yes, read it through. Pray it in, live it in, live it out, pass it on. Let's love our Bibles. Let's love the Word of God. I have a precious book. 'Tis the Word of God. It's the only book that God has given. As I read, God speaks to me. I see Christ and Calvary, the wonderful Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit to interpret the Word to our hearts. And He does. He does. That's the wonderful thing. We know the author. We know the author, and the author, he reads right along with us, and he speaks to us, and he writes those things in our hearts. And so our prayer ought to be, God, we want to know you better. Speak to us through your word. Every time I open the Bible, Lord, I want you to speak to me. Sometimes the Lord will bring conviction. Sometimes the Lord will bring comfort. Correction. But He has a way of knowing exactly what we need. How does He know? How does He know? Because He loves us. He's our Father. There was a brother here last week, and he liked the thought of God being a good Father. He's a good, good Father. You're a good Father, he would pray. Because you're a good Father, you give good gifts to your children. And you know what your children need. And I want to tell you, you have a good, good Father in heaven. And He knows exactly what you need. And He has provided for every need in His Son, in this book. And so, Lord, give us a hunger for your word. Oh, God. God, again, so many voices call, so many messages bombard our hearts and our ears and our minds. But, Lord, we want to hear from you. God, I pray that you'd give us a love for your word. Increase our hunger for your word. Lord, and as we read, we do expect you to speak. Speak to us, Lord. Speak. I pray that this would be an open book, Lord. That you would open understanding, Lord. Open our minds, open our hearts, Lord. Holy Spirit, reveal Christ to us. Illuminate, Lord Jesus, this word to us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so, Lord, again, for young and old, I pray that you would increase our love for your word. Speak to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Dear Father, we pray that you will come to us and help us to love this word. Make it real to our hearts and help us to not only read it, but to obey it. Oh, Jesus, I pray that you will do it by your mighty hand and change our lives, that they will be a blessing in this life.
Yes, Lord.
To many souls, because we love your word. We pray this in thy name, for thy dear name's sake. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord, may I each day read thy precious word. May I love it and obey it too. May I grow to be like thee. May my friends see Christ in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing together 159 in the hymn book. Stand as we sing.
Thy word is a lamp to my feet.
Someone pray with us in closing, please.
Thank you, O Lord, that thy word is settled in heaven. Lord, we pray that you'll settle into every one of our hearts and souls all the great importance of reading the Word of God daily and staying true to you. Lord, we know your Word speaks to us. It changes us.
Hallelujah.
It blesses
yes, Lord,
us. It
yes,
makes
Lord,
us to know you yes, better.
Lord,
and oh, Lord, how we want to know you more and more. Be filled
yes,
with your presence
yes,
and filled with
yes,
your
yes,
glory.
Lord.
And we know it begins by our devotions, but also by reading thy Word.
Yes,
quicken
Lord.
Us, oh Lord,
yes,
by thy Word. Change
yes,
us and transform
yes,
us
yes,
every
Lord.
Day as we
thank
open
you,
this
Lord.
Book of life.
Yes,
and we
Lord.
Thank thee and praise thee in Jesus'
yes.
name.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Only because I have some announcements and I don't want to forget anything.